It is time again for Off the Grid on eRadio. A very good morning to ProCon SA's Marius Duval. It's always nice to chat to you, and thanks for joining us as we look at this week's biggest energy-related stories and talk solar. Marius, ek hoop dit gaan goed met jou.
Ja, baie, baie goed. Goeiemôre, Ion, en goeiemôre aan al die luisteraars. Nee, dit gaan baie goed, en ek het net toe ons hallo gesê, het ek gesê, dat weet, ons het een bed om in te slaap, want ons het een dak oor ons koppe, is dat dalk nie lig nie,
ja.
Maar al die ander goed, dit gaan persoonlik goed, maar dit gaan, ek dink met die land en die ekonomie in terme van, soos die Washington Post dit noem, ons rolling blackouts, jy weet, allemaal hou asem op, want wanneer is die volgende in hier? Jy weet, Eskom het weer een waarschuwing uitgestuur, dat daar is een moontlikheid van load shedding, so allemaal hou maar asem op, en die mense is rechtig, ouwens raak desperaat, in terme van besighede, vooral klein besighede wat produceer. Ek praat met een ou tannie wat beskuit bak, en sy sê vir my, jy weet, vanmiddag by een van die ouwe thuise, wat hulle beskuit bak om die ouwe thuis te onderhou, en sy sê vir my, my kind, jy kan nie glo wat hierdie ding aan my doen nie, en ons besigheid doen nie, en aan ons ouwe thuis doen nie. En, jy weet, solank jy in blackout, en of a load shedding vir my, in my persoon, en ek dink ons moet dit allemaal erken, ons allemaal moan daarover, is nie rechtig ongerieflik by jou huis nie, jy kan nou wel nie, weet, TV kyk nie, die wifi is af, maar dis nie regtig 'n groot probleem nie, maar wacht tot jy iets begin produceer, en dit wat jou aan die lewe moet hou, en dit wat kos op jou tafel sit, word weggevat, dan raak dit 'n ander story.
Ja.
So, kan nou maar sê, die massas, en allemaal van ons, allemaal lei saam, as het donker is vir die massas, is het donker vir my ook, en is vir allemaal donker, maar die ouwens wat produceer, wat die land aan die gang hou, wat kos op die tafel sit, praat vandag met die ou by Checkers, hoog op in Checkers, baie hoog op, ou wat aan Whitey Basson persoonlik gerapporteer het, jy weet so, dis is redelik, is een van die mees senior ouwens. Ek, in een van my vraag, omdat ek dit as een rumor al gehoor het, toe vraag ek om vir interessantheid, hoeveel kos, as ons vandag, kom ons sê, ons stop ons supply chain van kos, in Kaapstad, kom ons stop dit, hoe lang het ons, as daar geen looting, as daar niks, as die ouens nie mal raak, en gaan koop en alles nie, vir hoe lang het ons kos in Kaapstad? Nou, ons het kos vir 5.5 dae, Kaapstad het kos vir 5.5 dae, nou, jy kan vir jouself dink in terme van produksie, hoeveel keer as jy in load shedding, hoeveel dae se produksie verloor jy,
ja.
in terme van load shedding, in 'n maand as jy 'n level 6 het, of selfs net 'n level 2, in terme van produksie, so groot en klein, maar vir al die klein ouwens, en vir al die entrepreneurs, want ons kan sê wat ons wil, dis die entrepreneurs wat werk verskaf in Suid-Afrika, dis die klein oukies, dis nie die groot ouens nie, dis nie die regering, want ek en jy betaal die regering se salaris, hulle is maar net staatsamptenare, maar as die entrepreneur, as die ou op die hoek, wat 5 en 6 en 7 mense het, jy weet, 'n gewone piek en pie, 'n gewone grootte piek en pie, bitter min mense weet het, maar het tussen 250 en 300 mense wat werk,
wow.
In 'n gewone piek en pie.
Sjoe.
Ja, ou dink daar is 20 of 30 mense as jy so kyk, dis tussen 200, as het 'n gemiddelde winkel, 250 na 300, dis die ouwens wat werk verskaf van die, nou die oomblik as jy dit doen, het load shedding, dit is net te groot, of jy moet hierdie astronomiese bedrag, moet jy spandeer om vir jou generator in te sit, en al hierdie dinge, anders te, as jy dit nie doen, nie staan jy, een generator by Pick n Pay op hierdie stadium wat vir die winkel gee, dis 'n 250 kilowatt generator op 'n tyd 6 load shedding, dan kos dit hom per week amper R40,000 net aan diesel.
Oef, eina.
So, dis eina. En waar verhaal hy dit van? Van die ou wat inkom in 'n pakkie piesangs koop. Hy moet, want hy het nie 'n masjien wat in sy winkel staan en geld print nie. Hy moet dit verhaal van iemand, so het is net, in alles, van load shedding af, vir krag wat duurder raak, elke, dit is net die eindverbruiker, wat die middele het, om dit te betaal, en dis wat hartseer is in Suid-Afrika, dis wat, die as jy kyk na die totale impak, wat Eskom het, die totale negatiewe impak, wat energie het, is ongelooflik. Ons het nog nie eers naaste by die impak gesien wat diesel en al hierdie goed nie. Met hierdie plantseisoen in terme van die somer en die goed wat voorlê vir die boere en hulle insetkoste, kan ek jou sien. Gister was daar in die koerant was dit geweest, hulle verwag aardappels kan verdriedubbel binne in die volgende 2 weke die prys, wat amper 'n stapel voedsel saam met rys en brood vir ons is in Suid-Afrika, gaan dit verhoog, want elke ding wat jy oplaai, amper 0 van ons goed word meer per trein vervoer, so elke ding wat opgelaai word van 'n plek waar 'n fabriek is en hy moet gaan aflaai word, is dit in die waardeketting is daar 'n probleem in terme van dit. So elektrisiteit het 'n geweldige ripple effek en produksiekoste reg oor die hele spektrum, net so, wat saam met energie is, want elektrisiteit en diesel en petrol is presies dieselfde ding. Dis energiekoste wat die hoogte inskiet, Dion.
Yeah, you're right, Marius. You know what? You just mentioned supermarkets, and I saw something interesting earlier this year. I think it was in March. There's a ShopRite Checkers in Somerset West, funny enough, and they became the country's first premium supermarket and shopping center to run off renewable energy from wind and solar sources. It looks like a majority of their power is actually being generated by that. So then you see this photo, this aerial shot of the shop, and the roof consists of solar panels. It actually looks so nice.
Yeah, it looks very nice. It's bifacial panels, a very good panel. I know about the specific situation. We also install bifacials at this stage, so it's very, very nice. But I want to tell you, and I want to give you a simple example while I'm sitting here. If I'm looking at I just want to look at one of the plumbers. Is an old age home. It's an old age home that we quoted and got the go ahead now in terms of what's a solar system. And I want to give you the exact amount of what they're going to save in terms of their system. Their current system at this stage, the initial amount of capital investment will be about 3 million rand. It will be a 330 kilowatt system with 490 panels of 540 watts. So it's a big system. The electricity account in terms of the consumption only per month, the average is about 112,000 rand. But listen to this now in terms of the numbers game. So the system that we're going to install for them on a linear basis, and the only assumption is that Eskom is going to increase at 10% per year, which I doubt will ever be the case again, that we will have an increase of 10% and below. So this is the only assumption, and it's in real terms, it's nothing fancy. They're going to save 124 million rand over the life of the system, which is 20. They're going to save 124 million rand. But and great for them, because it's almost going to become an income stream. But what you must remember is this 124 million coming not from anybody else, not from the end user, nothing. It's coming out of Eskom's pocket. They're going to be short of 124 million. This is old age home that I'm talking about. We got to go ahead now to do one that is 5 times bigger than the one that I mentioned now for a huge, huge, huge complex here in Cape Town that got 220 houses, a frail care unit, everything, a huge system. So all this money is out of, I don't know how they're going to survive. I don't know how we're going to invite anybody to come and invest money in South Africa, and you need to look at this. And somebody who wants to come and produce. The other day we had a big company that asked us to assist them in terms of a study how feasible it will be to open a solar panel company in one of our IDZ zones, which is a tax benefit zone in South Africa. And the guys at the end just said, no, sorry, they can't. There's no guarantees in terms of electricity. This plant is so energy intensive that there's no way that once you can put it off and you can put the production lines on and off, there's no ways that you can do it. And they even closely interested in running it with generators because it's just too expensive. It is just too expensive.
Yeah. Well, listen, Marius, Eskom started making noises again this week saying that they've got some generation problems at Majuba and Tutuka and two at the Creole power station. And then also further making it even worse is two generation units at Arnott and a unit each at Kusile and Endrina power stations. How are all these units breaking down almost just one after the other, but they're in different locations? Don't you find that a little suspicious?
I do find it suspicious, and I can agree with Mr. De Ruyter that it is possible sabotage. I would actually go, and it does look from the outside, it's sabotage.
Definitely.
But all of a sudden, they said a few weeks ago, and I think they requested AfriForum to give them a list of old employees that come and help them. 100 was submitted immediately, and I believe the guys said in terms of the unions that the guys, the names that were submitted is too white. So they can't, they don't want to use them. So it doesn't seem to me like the guys are really, I mean, a guy like Malema making absurd noises. I mean, fire the guys. By firing anybody is not going to assist the power problem.
Yeah.
They need maintenance at this stage. And maintenance is not going to happen. They must ask them. And Kriel is the one, is a very, very nice example. If I can just have an interview with these guys, Kriel closed. They complete. There was three workshops between Kriel and Matla just for maintenance. They are closed in totally. Those guys don't even have tools on site to do maintenance.
Sure.
How is anything going to change if this is the reality? You must listen to this. They closed the one, and the one workshop in totality was they built it full of offices. So there's, instead of guys that's doing maintenance, there's office workers now.
Very interesting what you're mentioning there, Marius. This could be more but Eskom said they've got 4,479 megawatts on planned maintenance at the moment and almost 13,000 megawatts of capacity unavailable due to all those breakdowns that we just mentioned at various power stations.
The unplanned outages, yes, it is. I can't even express something because this is the reason for that is pure simple maintenance sabotage. I don't know what's going on in Eskom, but something is going on that we're not going to turn this boat around. If you start with planned maintenance in terms of Eskom model in the past in terms of maintenance was predicted maintenance. So you got two or three models, and the predicted maintenance say that if you have a roller, it's almost the same like SAL, because if you have an aeroplane, you want the reliability of 100%. You understand that the fact if you don't want the reliability in an aeroplane of 98%, because that 2% is going to cost you your life. So exactly. The aeroplane must be up, and so this is why the model that they use in terms of maintenance is predicted maintenance. Now in predicted maintenance, you say if this nut or this piece or this motor, if it reaches 5,000 hours, we change it regardless of the condition. Regardless of how the condition is, we need to change this nut because we need to have the uptime, the reliability of our equipment to be higher than 95 in terms of Eskom. So Eskom, and what I think what happened, the moment they, it's like a guy coming in and servicing your car, and he's taking out something that, if you take it in your hand, there's 100% nothing wrong with it. And he's talking from a condition-based maintenance perspective and not of a predicted maintenance. And the moment he said, no, this bolt is 100% fine, why do you change it? The moment that you move from predictive maintenance to condition-based maintenance, you must know that there's a reason why the manufacturers of that bolt said after 5,000 hours, you need to change it, because there's metal fatigue and there's all sorts of stresses and stuff that you cannot see with the naked eye, and that bolt will break. Maybe not on 6,000 or 7,000 or on 8,000, but definitely on 9,000. Mm. It will not make 1,000. That's why they changed it out on 5,000. That's predictive-based maintenance.
Yeah.
And Eskom went over to condition-based, and this is the fruits that they... This is the of the seed that they put the seed in the ground, and this is what's coming up, and this is what they're harvesting currently. So to get back to predictive maintenance, you almost... Listen to this scary thing. You almost need to rebuild 25% of every single power station. They don't even have the money to do it on 1%, let alone 25%. So in terms of they can't even furnish with the money that they're coming in, furnish the interest on their debt. So I cannot see them going back to a predictive maintenance program in Eskom. They will stay on condition-based, and as long as they're on condition-based maintenance, this will happen. If you do on your car condition-based maintenance, in other words, you drive it until it breaks and then you fix it. This is what they're doing currently.
Yeah, exactly. So
you can buy a brand new car. First, if you miss the first service, no problem. It will still go. The next, it won't go and stand. The next, there will maybe a light on the dash that say to you, you need to service your car, but nothing will happen. You will drive. But on a morning, by 20 or 25,000, your car's engine is going to back up because the oil is so dirty, or the
exactly.
oil is gone, it's used up, it's going to back up. And so they're there. So, and what do you do if the car's engine packed up? You need to either remove it, rebuild it, and it will never be 100% the same again. Mm. The lesson out of that is, Eon, is that they can say what they want, but there is no free lunch, not in maintenance, not in any type of maintenance. Don't think you have a free lunch. They had their free lunch between 1994 and 2008, where everything was maintained very, very well, and then they stopped with predictive maintenance, went over to condition-based maintenance, and it went 100%. They actually were proud of it with the maintenance, the little amount of maintenance that they do, and how much money they save. And then all of a sudden, 2008 come, and we will. I predict you. I don't care what they say, that it's going to be very, very difficult for the state to get out of the situation. The only thing that can happen to take us out of this situation is hand it over to the private sector.
Yep, definitely. Marius, also, I like your analogy of the car. And so what you're basically saying is Eskom is driving the car. There's a lot of lights flashing on the dashboard, and they're just ignoring it until there's no lights at all, pardon the pun.
No. I mean, that's the 13 gigawatt that's down that's actually saying it to you. Look at their maintenance, the planned maintenance, the 4 gigawatt against the 30. So the 4 that's out, this is where they do the planned maintenance. So they call it planned maintenance. They don't. I for the last few years, I never, not from one of them, listened or heard what is their maintenance model now. What do they do the maintenance? Is it predictive? But what I can see from the outside speaks volumes. So all these lights are flashing, and they're driving it, and you know, the fact that there's 13 out means that the other part of the car, or the other cars that's driving, you need to drive them harder. So they need to work at maximum capacity. So and that's actually creating more and more problems.
Yeah, I think at this stage they're just pushing the car, but not even that's working.
not even that's working. So,
the engine is too badly damaged.
We're not pessimists, but we're also not stupid.
Exactly. We're not pessimists, but we're also not stupid, and we're also not ignorant, definitely.
No, we're not ignorant. So in terms of for the guys, in terms of the private, load shedding is not gone. Load shedding is not gone. And even if we got this magic wand and get all this money to spend it, and load shedding is gone, I will prophesize today for you that there will be energy, but it will be too expensive to use.
Exactly.
That's the only two options that's on the table. Either there's not going to be energy if they do nothing, and if they do something and they salvage it, it's going to be so expensive that you won't be able to use it. So in any way, we're going to be out of energy.
Yeah. Listen, Marius, now that you're talking about expensive, can you quickly summarize for us what is happening with the NERSA approval? Eskom submitted their updated tariff structures for NERSA approval. That was on Friday, last Friday, the 5th of August. Can you summarize for us what this means?
In short, what it means, look, the court cases, the four court cases were done and everything, and I think they just delayed, and I said it on a previous occasion as well. I think they're just delaying what they say. But the High Court actually gave them now instruction to come up with a definite answer back to the public by the end of December. And my opinion, it's also a political decision because of the ANC conference that's in November. So for them, it's a power thing. And you don't power thing, and not only electrical power, but also in terms of power, who's in charge. So they don't want to say anything or do anything before the conference. So for Mr. Ramaphosa to get another term. And I can tell you, if the ANC, the faction in the ANC, which is the Radical Economic Transformation Group, which won now in KwaZulu-Natal to the extent that there was a new premier announced today in KwaZulu-Natal. So they definitely postpone it, but there is no other option. If you just as a normal, I'm by no ways do I want to get involved in anything of economics because I'm not a subject matter expert. But if I see the debt in terms of business, the debt of Eskom, and they can't even furnish their debt in terms of the interest on their debt, it's a business that is in so much trouble. And in terms of the solar, we're taking more and more and more money, not in the millions, in the billions away from Eskom at this stage, in the billions of rands. So who's going to pay for it? There is only one guy. Who's paying for the fuel in South Africa? It's the guy who's owning the car. So it's the guy who's consuming the fuel that's paying for it. The same with electricity. So if they got no choice but to award it, somewhere they're going to need to bite the bullet and up the electricity prices. And I know it's going to hit the poorest of the poor the hardest. It is going to, because those guys, for them it must be terrible all of a sudden to get from 3 to 4 rand a unit to maybe a 13 or 14 rand. Kilowatt hour, you simply won't be able to afford it. So what are these guys going to do? The illegal connections are going to become more.
Yeah, and go back to candles.
Yeah,
shack fires.
And you see in Khayelitsha and all those places, Eskom stopped their support there in terms of, because they're not even safe to go in and fix it.
Yeah.
So I also have a little bit of sympathy for the guys, because if you look at the city of Cape Town, the council. If you look at the council, if you see them working on anything, I mean, in Cape Town, you must. And the most absurd thing that you can ever hear is that on the highways they don't switch off the lights, the street lights, because if they switch off the street lights, the guys are stealing the copper cables.
Yep. So that's why they keep it on, so that the guys can get a good shock when they try and steal those cables. And then obviously the streetlights aren't using a lot of electricity. They're obviously LED.
But if you have a million of them over all of South Africa, of a sudden
it's even if it's
an LED, it's a huge contribution. So if you already battle with energy, then every little bit of conservation in terms of it matters.
Exactly.
It does matter. So it's almost like we as a civilization, as a nation, need to come together to solve this for Eskom. But you can do what you want. If the guys on top is not doing their job, and this is why the writer, I mean, you see more and more making political comments that my opinion is in the medium term is going to cost him his job. It sure. is definitely going to cost him his
so
job.
Too,
but
yeah.
He's and the same with Jan, that's the CEO, the same with him. And if those two guys are gone, the writer maybe not so much, but I think in terms of Jan, if he's gone, then we got problems.
Then we've got problems.
Then I would say for the guys, if you need electricity, it's now the time. Don't buy a generator because of the fuel cost. Don't buy a generator. Get solar power. Start with your solar power plan.
Marius, we're not alone with an energy crisis, as you mentioned to me off air before we started chatting. Sri Lanka's also, their state-run electricity monopoly, like we have here in South Africa, will raise tariffs by a stinging 264% for people consuming the least, and the higher users will face a smaller increase. They're doing this to recoup part of its accumulated losses of $616 million. So that almost sounds like the situation that's going to happen here that you mentioned earlier. And there's also energy crisis situations all over the world, in fact. Looking at what's in Germany and all of that, but that's all due to Russia.
Yeah, it's due to Russia that's cutting down the gas.
Yeah.
And these guys, Germany actually had the most coal mines in the whole world and the most coal-fired power station. Then they went over to, they now the biggest contributor in terms of green energy in the whole of Europe. And what are they doing now? They're sitting in a place where they relied on the guys that they thought were partners, and they were only partners so far, and now they're sitting with a huge crisis. I see in Germany that all the, if you look at what they're doing, we think that we're doing, but at least they can ask their population to save what they do. They're saving on gas and they're saving on electricity. Like, you can't believe what's happening in Germany. They even, Germany is a beer drinking nation.
Mm.
They even forcing the beer breweries to stop producing in terms of electricity, to stop.
Oh my word.
And this is the guys that is a first world nation. They got everything to their, and they just went onto this euphoria of only green energy and Russia, and all of a sudden their partner in crime dropped them.
Oops.
And they're sitting with one of the biggest energy crisis. The whole of Europe is sitting with this energy crisis. The whole of Europe is sitting because they're relying on gas, and there is enough gas. There's more than enough gas. There's it's just how it's get distributed and it's been used. Energy, we almost thought that it will be water, because the guys said that it will be water that's causing the next world war in terms of scarcity of, in terms of commodity, but it's looking more and more that it's energy that's the problem.
Definitely. So basically, electricity or energy crisis situations all over the world at the moment, which is just unbelievable, but not all for the same reasons.
Yeah, tongue in cheek, I think we will solve the whole energy crisis of the whole world if Eskom will stop burning diesel.
Yeah.
Because the quantities that they're burning diesel with is, it's unbelievable. We see it, and again, Cape Town don't have diesel. They don't. They're waiting for ships to coming in. The ship came in, and this is why they're burning. This is why we don't have load shedding at this stage. You know, we don't even have fully, after the explosion here with Nasref and those places, we don't even have one refinery in South Africa that's operational.
Yo.
We're importing diesel and petrol by tankers. This is part of the crisis.
But Marius, the car powership wanted to come and help us. And the environmentalists said to them, no, you're going to pollute and all that stuff. Just go away.
I am so glad about that, because even Eskom raised their concerns that it was a long-term, it was actually a political contract, a 20-year contract for the three ships. And I can tell you now that it is not because of the environment, it's because of the pressure that was put on them by OTA and all the other places. Because it is, if you ever heard a stupid idea is to get three ships from another country to come and make power in your own country for you.
Yeah.
And then paying them. Yeah. I mean, I am over the moon of that. Doesn't matter what gave rise to it, but I know it was a political decision in the first
instance. Yeah, ulterior motives and cruel intentions. Now they blame it on the fish because the fish can't speak.
So I'm so glad because that was definitely part of state capture.
Okay, well, nice to hear your opinion.
We don't need to look offshore for we got the people, we got everything in South Africa. We can make it work. There's just a lack of willing from these guys to do the business thing. They're still blaming it. They're still playing the race card. They're still playing the apartheid card. They're still playing all these cards instead of taking hands. They say, guys, we need to roll up our sleeves and we need to start to work and make this work. Put the right guys in the right position. Stop deploying people that knows nothing about it. Appoint guys that knows what they want. Give it to the private sector. Give it to the private sector. We will do it. It's like a golden thread that's running through all the state departments. From if you look at Telkom, if you look at Denel, if you look at SAL, if you look at Transnet, or you name a state department. I don't think I know of anyone that is a huge success or worrying success.
Nope.
So it's like a golden thread that's running through all these highly successful businesses and entities, state entities that was on their prime in terms of it, and they all run down to the ground. I mean, look at the Denel. We were on the front foot. We were a nuclear country. We gave up our nuclear capabilities and our bombs. We gave it up. We gave it up in 1994. We are a nuclear country. We were on the verge. We were the first country ever in the world to make fuel out of coal. All that knowledge is here, and yet we battle.
Listen, Marius, thank you so much as always. This is altijd lekker met jou te gesels. If people want to get in touch with you to talk about solar solutions and to get off the grid, the time is now. How do we get in touch with you?
Absolutely, the time is now. They can call me on my cell phone at 082-692-0246, or they can go into our website, on the ProCon website, and they can just leave a short message, can say what they want. Up to design stage, it's a function and it's a functionality that we give out for free, so it won't cost you a cent to discuss it with us and see what is your ability, what can you do to alleviate this pressure, and just in terms of, because the expensive in it, it's already expensive, but I can guarantee you, I think by next year we will know what is expensive electricity.
And on that note, Marius from ProCon SA, thank you so much for your time and your expertise. We really appreciate it, and looking forward to chatting to you again next week and listening to all your great knowledge.
Same to you, and let's hope it's a week that's free of load shedding.
Ja, definitely. Marius, bye bye, dankie. Ons gesels volgende week.
Mooi dag, Jon, vir jou.
En vir jou, dankie hoor. Bye bye. Let's face it, load shedding isn't going anywhere. Not anytime soon. So don't you think it's time to get off the grid? Say goodbye to load shedding and hello to freedom. It's not as expensive as you think. You can simply rent to own. Start your solar journey with an entry-level system and systematically grow it to eventually be completely self-sustainable and off-grid. ProCon SA will be there every step of the way. Contact Marius on 082-692-0246 or email marius@procon-sa.co.za. And don't forget to catch Marius on eRadio every Thursday morning at 10 o'clock, chatting about all things solar and going green. The only way is ProCon SA.